You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap Show for Season 16, Episode 16, titled Grand Finale. My name is Joe Batanz, and I am joined, as always, by Afterthought's very own Miss Congeniality from Bravo, Bravo, effing Bravo. Please say padam padam to Mr. Nathan Patrick Brown. Hello, Nathan. How are you?
Hey, Joe. How's your head?
Haven't had any complaints. I was going to do some sort of joke, like, what do you mean? But I didn't. Nathan, you know, you and I have yet to have an episode of Just Between Us Girls yet, but I have a sneaking suspicion it's going to be very combative.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll find out. And the only way you can find out is if you go over to patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia and join at the executive tier and above. And as I've stated before, you can now do a free 7-day trial for executive tier or exclusive tier right now if you go over to patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. But if I could give you some advice, I would say wait until All Stars.
Oh.
Well, yeah, because we're going, the Afterthoughts don't know this officially yet. We're going on a hiatus until right before All Stars, like the week before All Stars. We're going on a little bit of a hiatus, Nathan. And
great.
So it'd be worth it to wait till then. All right. This week, the girls walk the road. Did I say where? Patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. Also, you can subscribe for Just Between Us Girls over on that Apple. On your Apple podcast, just scroll up and hit subscribe. This week, the girls walk the runway one final time. The top three perform original songs. Tsunami Muse and Saphira Cristal share the title of Miss Congeniality. And Saphira and Nymphia lip sync for the crown. In the end, Nymphia win reign supreme and is named the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 16. Nathan Patrick Nathan Patrick Brown, what did you think of the final lip sync? And did the right queen win this season?
First of all, great lip sync song. Really enjoyed that. Shout out Kylie.
Yeah, Nathan is a huge Kylie fan. What do they call the Kylie fans?
I actually don't know.
Minogue.
And I'm not good at improv to think of something right now.
Yeah. Anyway, so you like the lip sync?
I loved it. And I think Nymphia just did such a good job. I loved that bubble tea look. Like, even before mm-hmm. the reveal, I was already eating it up. And then the reveal mm-hmm. was just so fun. And I think maybe plain screwing over Nymphia in the Raider Queen in, like, the first week of this competition was, like, secretly part of her secret weapon, because we hadn't really seen Nymphia lip sync outside of challenges. And
oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's, like, the edge that she had over Saphira in this.
Yes,
and it was just 100%. So fun to see her. And it's not to say Saphira did bad, but there was a few things where I was like, I don't think the look was that great, and I didn't understand the fangs.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, overall, I could have seen this going the other way. Like, up until the lip sync, I thought Saphira was going to win based off of how the episode went. But I think the lip sync just really tipped the edge in Nymphia's favor, because it was just really fun and she looked great. And the balloon reveal, like, was just wonderful. What did you think?
You said a lot of the things that I thought is that, you know, Nymphia benefited from the fact that no one really ever saw her do a competitive lip sync, whether it was for the crown or, you know, for the win or for the this or the that, anything. They never really saw her do a competitive lip sync. So all of her moves, the way she did it, was fresh, you know? Also, you know, I have not been on the Reddit. So if someone else has pointed this out on social media or anything, I just have not looked at social media really since watching the finale. But I did notice on a second watch that when she did the reveal of her boba look and the balloon floated up, and I don't know if this wasn't, this may not be intentional. This may be reading too much into things, but it was on the word butterflies in the song Padam Padam. I'm like, oh, Asia O'Hara is, you know, seething with rage back at home.
I noticed that too, and I was like, oh, it's nice to not have like a cringe whenever like a butterfly is mentioned in a final lip sync.
Yeah, so she did it in the word butterflies, and it worked beautifully. And, you know, and I actually, you know, she killed it along the way. And I was talking to somebody today who had not watched the finale. So they were going to watch it later tonight with some friends. And so they were talking to me, and they said, don't give me any spoilers. But the way they were talking, I was like, oh, you don't know how this is going to shake out.
Yeah.
You know, because it seemed to us so obvious that Safira Cristal was going to be the winner. Everything was going in that direction. And what's funny is two things. Is I have a lot of thoughts on what happened. So, but first of all, I want to say on it, I've never done a thing on these predictions on Meet the Queens where we review it and then I say, oh, look how wrong we were, and then turn out to be right.
I know, even though last week we were like, we all thought Nymphia would win, but I don't think she'll win.
Yeah, I thought it would have been between Plain and Safira, you know? And I didn't even think about Safira not, and Plain not making it to the final. I thought it was so obvious. But what's so funny, it shows you how hindsight is 2020, because now that the dust has settled, we saw what happened, I'm like, this is so obvious now. Everything is so obvious because... First of all, people were talking to me. They were saying like, wow, Safira really is suffering in the Twitter polls, you know, and Nymphia's doing so well. And I would constantly bring up how Kimchi was blowing everybody away in the Twitter polls, and that they generally, much of the audience's ire, RuPaul often just ignores them. They're always like, well, mm-hmm. Then why do you have us do it? Because you ignore it. But I do know in the past few years, the decisions have come close to the Twitter polling, and I didn't know if that was just by chance or whatnot, but now it's making me think, you know, well, maybe they did go, well, listen, Nymphia is crushing this Twitter poll and Safira is not doing well at all. This might not be a good choice. Thing number one, hindsight number one. Do we want to say anything here? Do you want to step in? I feel like I'm talking a lot.
No, I can see that being a consideration. But I do think in this case, it did come down to that lip sync.
Well, no. Hindsight number two is Safira was really good on television. Nymphia, towards the end, sort of petered out and really wasn't giving much. So there could have been a consideration of who do we want on an All-Stars more, Safira or Nymphia? You know, because all winners, All-Stars are few and far between.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a while before we see Nymphia on our screen again. But who do we want to see on All Stars, Safira or Nymphia? Oh, we want to see a Safira more. She's more fun to look at. And also, RuPaul just lives for that bitch. And we'll talk about this later in the episode, how there's evidence and evidence that RuPaul just fucking loves Safira Cristal. And then, you know, and then also true, though, not to take away from Nymphia, if you're taking it on any given Sunday, this fucking bitch delivered on the finale. Mm-hmm. Her entrance look. Phenomenal. Her lip sync, which we'll talk about, the best one. And I have things to say about this, but we'll save it for the episode.
Oh, me too.
And then her final lip sync was really good. I mean, she killed it. Even her little one-on-one with RuPaul was the best of the three. So, I mean, if you look at it from that performance, what do you want to say about this, Nathan?
And I think her branding, like, she knew what she was doing from the start and she stuck with it. Like, at times I was frustrated with the yellow and the bananas, but when she came out with the banana look, I was like, yes, bitch, bananas. When she did the reveal into yellow, I was like, fuck yeah, yellow. Like, she just took me on that ride with her because she was just confident in what she was delivering. But I also think it's a testament to how good this season was that we actually had like a top three that we could see any of them winning. And I think, like, Safira did amazing. Like, looking at the montage of her package, like, she was incredible. And there's no shame in being, like, an amazing runner-up.
Yes. I will say, just to sort of push back a little bit, you're right on Safira. I feel Plain's... We'll talk about it when we get to Plain Jane. I feel that a lot of her flaws came out in this finale. that we kind of overlooked during the regular season. But we'll talk about them then. Why don't we do this, Nathan? So we've talked about this. Why don't we take a break? When we come back, we are going to talk about the rest of the episode. We'll be back right after this.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
All right, I got to get something off my chest. By the time I finish watching RuPaul's Drag Race two times, recording two different shows about it, and spending my entire week around RuPaul's Drag Race, the last thing I want to do is listen to other podcasts about RuPaul's Drag Race. But people are constantly saying, do you listen to this podcast or that podcast? And I'll be honest with you, I don't, because I barely have time to record the one that I do. And this sits on me, on my chest. So I have to get it off my chest because I'm like, is this hindering my growth as a creator? So I'm glad I told you guys this, so you guys can stop recommending shows or asking me if I listen to Race Chaser or Sibling Rivalry. We all carry around different stressors, by the way. Big, small, serious, silly. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest. Can you imagine if I went to therapy with this? And to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. I have benefited tremendously from therapy, tremendously. And it's a way for me to work out different problems that I've had. And I've shared those problems with you before. If you have stressors in your life, you need to talk them out. That's how you release the toxicity, is by talking it out. And therapy can help do that. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. When they designed it to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you got to do is just fill out a brief questionnaire and they'll match you with a licensed therapist. And by the way, if you don't like your therapist, you can just switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/dragrace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we are back. Let's jump right into the show. I really wonder, Nathan, how much there is to talk about. RuPaul hits the main stage to perform an original number, and the queens of season 16 walk the runway one final time. Did you have any big thoughts here, Nathan?
Well, just up top, I'll say, I don't like this format. I much prefer when they go into a proper theater and we have a crowd full of like ex-drag queens and we've got celebrity pop-ins. Like I love the pomp and ceremony about it, and reducing that into this format, I was like, oh, it left me a bit flat. And I was just saying, and with all the filler, it sort of felt like that as well.
So, you know, I went on this whole big giant theory that I read online about the writer's strike, and it did happen during the writer's strike. And then someone pointed out, and I don't even know if they were trying to refute the theory or not, that they probably just did this because she was going to be on her book tour.
Yeah, probably.
And probably what it was, she was going to be on her book tour and they're going to do the finale early, the end. And instead of all this writer's guild, and I came up with this, like the union would be siding with the this and the that. And I go, yeah. Oh, she's just going to be on her book tour and that's it. She comes out, she looked great when she came out, but she just cannot move anymore. So it is more and more her just walking. You can almost see her counting the steps. Mm-hmm. Like she, and then just like doing these weird like handshakes with the dancers. Like the moves were so bizarre and so limited. It was like she was afraid she was going to break a hip when she was doing it. Did you have any thoughts on the opening?
Yeah, the song was terrible.
Oh, the songs are always horrible.
Just awful. And yeah, I think with this format, and like we've not had a reunion, I feel like we're missing things. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know at this point in time, did the Queens, had they watched the season yet? I don't think they have.
I think they recorded it like a month or two after they filmed.
Yeah, so we're missing that thing where, like, you know, a Katy Perry demands an apology or something. Like, I want to see Nymphia's reaction to knowing that Plane ranked her last. Like, I feel like we never got closure on things like that. And it would have been nice if they incorporated a little reunion element into this episode, but it just didn't happen. We just went straight into Rue doing a song with a step and repeat.
I wonder how that would play, because I've noticed that the problem is that the reunions have gotten very, very sanitized and tame. So maybe they're like, why are we going to waste them? But maybe the people would, I feel Amanda would say something. I don't know. It's
Well, we didn't even get an Untucked last week. Like, we could have just done it in Untucked last week, but we got nothing.
Oh, yeah, you're right. We didn't get anything. What about the parade of the queens, when the queens come out and show off their looks? Did you have any thoughts here?
I think most people looked great. I thought Mirage looked good. Plasma was gorgeous. Even Dawn had a nice wig. I think the top three were all like quite the standouts. The banana peel look was really cool. Saphira, I thought she's winning when I saw that look. Plane also looked the plainest out of the three of them. So that was like the first warning sign for Plane, I thought. And Geneva, oh God, that was dreadful. She looked terrible. I just don't know where her taste level is at. But I also think with the crowd being mostly extras, they probably didn't need to level out all the cheers.
Do we know? Well, there's proof of that. Do we know where they got were they like World of Wonder employees and staff and friends and family or whatever? I don't know if it was, maybe it was extras, but it was definitely. So what's funny is, and you can tell, well, first of all, it was a very tiny audience. You could tell whenever they did a few wide shots, it was very, very small. Probably, I don't know, 50, 60 people, less than 100.
Yeah.
You know? Probably friends and family or employees and cast and crew kind of shit. I don't know. Maybe it was extras. Who knows? But what I will say, though, is almost every queen, even sometimes the finalists during their numbers or something, did the whole, like, give me more with their hands to the audience.
I didn't notice that.
Well, if you look at the audience, they're not like, they were just like golf clapping, essentially.
Yeah.
And not like really cheering. I don't know if you know this, Nathan, but I've been to every finale. Oh, I had been up until the last one. For like seasons 6 through, I don't know, 13, 14 or something like that. Yeah. 11. Whatever one of the right before the pandemic was, you know, I went to every finale. And when certain queens come out, the theater is like literally shaking because it's so excited. And if they don't like the queen, it goes quiet.
Who got the frostiest reception, do you think?
Oh, Alexis Michelle, for sure. Nathan got the frostiest reception. This segment was dedicated to Roberto Mata right now, who is cursing at me while he's on the treadmill at the gym. Nymphia Wynn is the first of the top three to hit the stage. First, she performs the original song, The Queen of Wind, before sitting down with Rue to talk fashion and what she'd say to little Leo if she could. Nathan, your thoughts here?
I don't like the format of the top three just performing to some sort of random song. And it just always feels a little bit more.
It's not a random song. It was definitely written for them.
Well, yeah, but it's not like that fun for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd rather just see them do a lip sync showdown to determine who goes into the top two. I guess it's a nice way to like package it up. Nymphia's song, I thought was okay. I thought she was great with the wind machine and how she performed it. But the song itself was not really like about her, didn't have like a story arc, whereas that's the case for Saphira. And so I was just like, I don't think they were setting up her up for the win at this point in time. And then with her chat with Rue, I thought she showed the perfect amount of vulnerability. Like, finally in the competition, she showed that softer edge. And I think that was just right on time for her to bring that to the competition.
Well, look, she ate. You know, she really benefited. We talked about this earlier.
Ate a banana.
Yeah, she sure did. We never seen her lip sync. We saw this. I just said this, but we never saw her lip sync competitively. And so she had that to her advantage. She was really good. She put on a great performance. But there is something. We'll talk about this more when we get to Plane. I really feel your performance is affected. That's the sort of the problem, Nathan, with what you're talking about with these songs. It depends on how good your song is. She had a good song. And it may not be the greatest song, but it was definitely perfect for what she needed and was suited to her strengths. And to, before we go on to the next queen, a good example of this is actually one of the few things I can think of with Willow Pill was the song I Hate People. And I think that the song, great. Which she didn't even, you know, write, that song really propelled her to the wind. To the wind, not the wind. Propelled her to, for the win is that it was called I Hate People. It was very funny. She performed it well, but it's played to her strength. And so, like, sometimes it could be the luck of the draw of who you get. And actually, we'll talk about it in the next queen. Now, she also pulled another thing that was really good is that in her interview with Rue, she cried, which you were giving... Nathan wants to yawn right now. He tried to cover it, but I saw it. She
stop being so boring.
Look, sometimes you pick up your co-host different little picadillos. She cried during the finale. And so I'm sure RuPaul loves something like that. And so she literally heard the finale. She wept and it was great. And it was great television. She gave RuPaul great television. And there we go. Any other thoughts before I move on to Plain Jane?
Nope.
All right, next, Plain Jane performs Bodysuit, makes her final pitch to Rue, and gets a video message from the cast of RuPaul's Drag Race live in Las Vegas. Your thoughts on Plain Jane, Nathan?
Yeah, I think they stitched her up with the worst song, with the worst Chloe. Yeah. I think, like, the concept of, like, oh, I'm wearing a bodysuit and just making a song around that, like, it's funny for a second, but then it doesn't go anywhere, and they're not giving her anything to give her, like, a story arc.
Yeah.
So I think she was let down there. And also, I don't think the Corey was showed off her talents, but I don't even think she did the Corey that she was given that well, where you'd forgive it. You know, I think she was set up for a failure. And even her answers weren't that good. Like, when she talked to her younger self, I thought she was going to say, don't quit ballroom dancing, because that's been all she's been fucking talking about all season. But then when she's, like, talking about her marketing degree and her campaign is, like, all this body, she didn't actually say anything. And I'm thinking, maybe you should get a refund on that marketing degree, because you can't even market yourself right now.
100%. Everything you said is on the money. I also think that her video package didn't do her any favors, because I think what it highlighted by giving her the greatest, giving us the greatest hit to Plain Jane over the season, because all these video package focus on the challenges and not on the drama in the workroom. And so what you realize is, oh, competitively, she wasn't that strong. She was kind of mid on the challenges and just got really lucky along the way. She wasn't bad, but was just sort of mid in the challenges. But her workroom personality and the good television she gave us really sold it. So in a weird kind of way, the package made me go like, oh, she wasn't that. I forgot about her stupid talent show thing where she like did a poor man's Jimbo. And pretty much everything wasn't that great.
And when you see all the looks together, you're like, oh.
Yeah, you're like, oh, she's just really good at the competition. She's really good at the competition. Excellent at the competition. Excellent at making great television. But in terms of the actual like challenges in terms of looks and all that, those kind of skills, she was just sort of mid at best. Also, I hate to say this, Michelle was right. What could have put this over the top was having more and more bodysuits to almost a comical degree.
She only
did one tearaway to another bodysuit. I think if she would have done like constantly showing a new bodysuit, that could have made it funny.
But in the lyrics, it wasn't there. So in the lyrics, she says, oh, look, another bodysuit. And it just says it once. If that was built in.
I thought of that. You could have done it that she does a bunch and then you think for a while. In other words, she starts up top with a lot and then doesn't have them for a long time. And then there's one more bodysuit. So just when you think she's done,
that would
there's
be good.
Another bodysuit.
Well, how much input do you think she had into this whole performance? Because it seems like they just wrote it, gave it to her. And now it's weird that Michelle's giving her a critique on something that I don't think she had a lot of input in.
I don't know, but I would imagine... I don't know. I want to preface this, but I don't know. But I would imagine on something like that, she would have a lot of input. Maybe not the choreo, maybe not the music.
But at least costume-wise.
Like that, and the costume-wise, she would have a lot to say. Also, we might as well call it out. is there was a cutaway during her her interview with Rue, Amanda just having the most sour look on her face.
Highlight of the episode for me.
I know. Nathan has already used it in a meme for me about a private conversation we had, which then he denied later. By the way, if you want to listen to Just Between Us Girls, go over to patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia and you'll probably get a better sense of what I'm talking about there. All right, let's go over.
Oh, and also, also go ahead. I also thought it was a bad sign for Plane that half of this segment was a pitch for Drag Race Live and we were cutting to Lazy Susan. I thought, oh boy, like this is, they're That's using your time slot to advertise other projects, not it's yourself. Not like this is bad.
You know, I was talking to a friend about, he had seen, he goes, oh, I was very spoiled. I saw that Plain Jane didn't make the final two. I don't know how I feel about that. And I go, I was thinking, I don't think I told him. When you see the episode, you'll understand. I think it made total sense that she didn't make the top two.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. I was surprised, but once it happened, I was like, that's the thing with this whole episode is there were surprises and I expected it to go a different way, but everything made sense in terms of like just fairness in the competition. Like when you watched it, you're like, okay, this all makes sense. All right. Sophia Cristal, finally, she gets the chance to perform the original song When I Learned to Love Me before sitting down with Rue and having a sweet moment with her mother. Anything on the Sophia Cristal package or moments?
I thought this song was the best. I thought it was good because it had the different levels where it starts off with the opera and then it comes down to like just like really fun dancing and good lyrics that reflect her journey and have inside jokes like with the slew foot and everything. So I thought they were giving her the best song and she performed it really well. I thought she had great energy. I was pretty convinced she was winning at this point. And like even when they show her package, I was just like, oh man, she was fucking good this season. And it's not like you really realized it at the time, but looking at it all together, I was like, wow, she had an amazing package. And she's got such great chemistry with Rue. And like the chat with her mum was like, again, major chemistry with Rue and the mum. Like, I thought that was setting it up for her.
It was really good. And I understand that if she would have won, I would have been like, okay, I get it. But I don't want to take anything away from Nymphia and that she kind of really deserved it based on this episode. And, you know, you can go, I don't know if you remember this. I can't remember bringing a sports analogy into this. But there was a season probably within the past 10 years where the New England Patriots, who were American football team, they had an undefeated season. They didn't lose a single game. And then they went to the Super Bowl, didn't lose a single game. And if they would have won that game, I think they would have matched a team that had done that like 50 years ago. And they just lost the very last game. They lost the very last game. And you could have an entirely undefeated season, but if you lose the last game, you don't become the Super Bowl champion. You know, and like I always use that, it's a football phrase on any given Sunday, but I say on any given Friday, that on any given episode, in theory, it can go to anybody. And I think in this case, I mean, we've both said Nymphia will probably in the Rulaska thoughts, we're like, oh, Nymphia, you know, she'll probably be in the top, you know, too bad. Because I think both of us said that Nymphia is going to win this season, you know?
Yeah.
And last week we're like, we got that one wrong, and then we landed up getting it right. So it depends. This is not about track record. The problem is a lot of these people, I've seen already some discussion about this on our very own Discord, is there are people who, when it suits them, they talk about the track record and the this. And then when it doesn't suit them, then they talk about it's based on the lip sync. You know, Maya was a good example of this for the Maya stands. And, you know, it's just the correct person won in my brain. And so with Safira, she's going to make an amazing All-Stars contestant is what I will say. And she should not be upset with herself at all. I know it stings, though. All right. Next, we take a break from the action to give the Achievement Award. It's called the Giving Us Lifetime. Time Achievement Award to Drag Icon Elvira, who reminds us all to be true to ourselves. Then Rue brings the top three back to the main stage to announce that the top two queens of the season are Nymphia Wind and Safira Kristal. Next, the Drag Race finale takes time to remind us that despite the current political climate putting drag under fire, there are a lot of supporting and loving mothers and drag mothers behind our favorite Rue girls. Finally, it's time to check in with season 15's winner, Sasha Colby, who hits the main stage for her last performance as the reigning Drag Race champion. She tells the story of meeting Vice President Kamala Harris and reminds us to vote. You know, I want to wrap it up with this. Finally, Malaysia Baby Doll Fox makes a return to the Drag Race stage to crown this year's Miss Congeniality, but in a twist, it's a tie. Miss Congeniality, the title is shared between Tsunami Muse and Safira Kristal. Let's go to the very beginning now. Let's go to that Lifetime Achievement Award, giving us Lifetime Achievement Award. Did you have any thoughts on this? Did you have a relationship or, because you're an Australian, Nathan, with Elvira? Do you have anything to say here?
I think I only knew Elvira from like The Simpsons or something. I didn't particularly get that it was Cassandra Peterson behind Elvira. You know, like I would just think of Elvira. I wouldn't even think of the person behind the character. Yeah, but I actually really like this segment. And I think, did they do it last year with Bob Mackie?
Yeah, Bob Mackie, yeah.
Was that the first one?
I think so, yes.
I like it. Sometimes I don't like when the show does the like gay-splain of like gay history, but other times mm-hmm. it just like, I just think it's nice light fluff and I think it's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think it's funny that so far, 2 years in a row, it's been RuPaul's personal friends.
Well, it must be like the metric of the award system. Like they have to have at least been a guest judge.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, God. I hope
so
not.
They're not going to give it to Alan Turing or anything.
Yeah, I hope it's not next year that guy that used to be the absolute vodka guy. Robert always remembers his name.
Yeah.
It would be great if it was him the next year. The guy from Absolute Vodka.
Yeah, that
Jeffrey
would be funny.
Something, right?
Moran?
Jeffrey Moran. I think you're right.
Yeah.
That'd be good. You know, so I had a funny Elvira story. You know, Jay Ellis, our wonderful esteemed co-host Jay Ellis, he's a huge Elvira stan. He loves Elvira. And one day we went to this movie theater that is known to have like celebrities go to this movie theater. But it had, right now, since the pandemic, it's been gone and they keep promising it'll come back, but who knows. But they had like a kind of like convoluted parking system that you paid for. And you had to use a machine, but it was kind of complicated. I knew it because I went all the time. And one time, Jay and I were standing in line to pay for our parking fee. And Cassandra Peterson, because you know, Cassandra Peterson looks fucking fantastic, but she's in her mid-70s.
That's wild.
And she's in her mid-70s. So you can kind of see it up close. So, but on TV and stuff like, she looks fantastic. And she's in her mid-70s. And, you know, what happens is I always wanted to do a sketch when Justin Bieber was young. Like I wanted to submit it to SNL where it was a take on the picture of Dorian Gray, you know. So it's Justin Bieber as like Dorian Gray. But, you know, he's older. So it'd be Justin Bieber, but he doesn't know how to use technology. Right. So he's like, he looks 19 or whatever. But he's like, how do I text? You know, like,
yeah.
What is this? So that was her. She could not use the parking thing. I kept telling Jay, this is your excuse to go talk to Cassandra Peterson. But he was like, no, I don't want to. I'm scared. And it was just funny. She looked, you know, she looked fantastic. It's Elvira, who's kind of eternally young. And she could not work the parking machine. But yes, a very good segment with Elvira. What about the shout out to the mothers?
This was filler. They were just stocking so much fucking filler into this whole section. Like we were padding the episode for time. Like I didn't need a segment about their mums. I didn't need the segment about voting. Mm-hmm. It was just like, come on, guys. How many more montages can we cram into this episode?
Yeah. Sasha Colby. She came out, she did a number, and then when they came back from the break, she came out with this amazing outfit on. So a lot of Sasha Colby for a while. Your thoughts on everything Sasha Colby, Nathan?
Also felt like a little bit of filler, like they were padding for time, but I was happy for it in this instance. Like it was cool to see her do a tip spot. I don't think they've done it before where they like the returning queen does a number, but that was fun for me.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that before either. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was good to see her and I thought her look was great. I think she's great.
Yeah, it's one of these things where like I kind of wrote it not as a read. It's not a read at all. It was just more of an explanation to myself. Where I was like, she bring it to you every ball. She was a legend before she came on the show. And we got to see why she is a legend. The performance was so such a well-seasoned performance. And you're like, oh, well, this is why she won, and this is why she was a legend before she even walked into the workroom. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, and then her look was fantastic. I mean, not much to write home about, but I thought she was fantastic and totally reminded you why she won last time. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then we had Malaysia Baby Doll Fox come out and give – they did a whole reenactment of that stupid power song or whatever. And then Malaysia Baby Doll Fox came out and awarded the tie, Miss Congeniality – between Safira and Tsunami Muse. Any thoughts here, Nathan Patrick Brown?
I didn't need another runway. Like, the filler was fillering. I couldn't believe it. But I thought Malaysia did look great. I really liked her look. And I did forget about her existence, so it was a nice little reminder.
Yeah, I forgot who she was. I don't remember. And I was like, does she deserve this? I don't remember anything about her. I don't remember if she deserved Miss Congeniality.
I don't know if she did.
I don't remember her. I remember nothing about her.
Yeah. And they were giving her a lot of lines. And I was like, oh, we're spending a lot of time with Malaysia. And she's not really bringing it as a character. Even though her look was so good, I was like, you're still a bit boring.
Well, clearly RuPaul's like, I'm done. Because it's usually RuPaul does the sort of wraparounds. Like, Malaysia, you're here. And they talk to her. How has it been? And then she does, and who is the winner of Miss Congeniality? And then she announces it. And then RuPaul says, you know, prance, my queen, prance. But then she just had her doing everything.
Well, Ru didn't even get down for the crowning. And she only went to that desk for the final lip sync. And they booted T.S. Madison off. That was so fucking rude. Could we not just have scooched down a little?
Yeah.
And, like, squeezed her in?
I know. It was really, really weird.
Like, why bump T.S. of all of them? Bump Ross with his stupid little pussy bow.
Yeah, T.S. was like, I gotta go. I gotta get home before the post office closes or something.
They made her hold the check sign.
Oh, they did?
Like, you know, for an All-Stars, like one or two or whatever, when they made them hold the check. They made her do that.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Anyway, the tie for Miss Congeniality, great. Mm-hmm. Good for them. I'm glad Safira won something. At the time, I was thinking, oh, she might win both. But at least, she walked away as Miss Congeniality. And that felt right. Like, she helped a lot of bitches in that workroom.
Oh, she did. You're right. She did deserve it. She really did. All right. Finally, it's time for Safira Cristal and Nymphia Wynn to face off in a lip sync battle for the crown. The song Padam Padam by Kylie Minogue. In the end, Nymphia Wynn is named the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 16 and America's Next Drag Superstar. Nathan, any final thoughts on the episode or the season? Lay it all on the line right here.
I just will say that it was a really good season. I really enjoyed it. I think Nymphia winning is a good summary for the season. Like, that felt correct, even though it could have been Safira. It still felt good. And I don't know if I'll go and rewatch it anytime soon, but I'm quite happy with it as a season of the show. It felt fresh. I'm not over the show just yet.
How did you feel about this? Like, in other words, are you sad that this is your season finale and now we don't see you for another year?
No. I mean, that's just the cycle of life. Feels it sure fun. Is.
How are you going to spend all your free time now?
Oh, gosh. Probably collecting little stories and doing fun little things. And
well, maybe in a year you'll have at least like three.
Yeah, I'll take notes of my interesting little life.
Yeah. Well, little life. Oh, but interesting so much. And then anything about any other news? Any parting words for the audience at large?
Just, you know, if you liked listening to the season, let us know. Go to the Discord, join Patreon, all that crap. Let me know if you think Joe's a horrible bully.
Mm-hmm. All right, very good. Well, Nathan, I want to thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
You know, someone the other day asked me if I was tired. I'm like, no, you know what? It's fun doing it with Nathan and I don't get tired. I never think about, oh my God, the finale's coming or anything like that. I'm just like, okay, well, here we go. Another chance to spend some time with Nathan Patrick Brown. So thank you for a great season. And that's going to do it for this season of RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Be sure to join us in May when we return to discuss, dissect, and deconstruct each brand new episode of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 9. And next year, Nathan will be back to do, season 17. So for Nathan Patrick Brown, oh, by the way, I'm going to give an extra special thanks to producer Zach Birch, who was amazing this season, got the scripts in early all the time, was really a big help. Special thanks to him. So for Zach Birch, Nathan Brown, and myself,
thanks to all the mums out there. Love you, mum.
Thank you for listening to Drag Race Recap. Have something to say? Leave us a voicemail at speakpipe.com/afterthoughtmedia. You can also email us at dragracerecap@afterthought.media. For more Drag Race and LGBTQ content, support us over at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. This podcast was produced by Zach Birch. Nathan Brown has another podcast. It's called Bravo, Bravo, Effing Bravo. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow Nathan Brown on Instagram at NathanBrown90. Follow Joe Batance on Instagram at Joe Batance. Special thanks to these expensive tier Patreon supporters: Alex S. Anonymous. April Pacheco. Astute Girl. Brad Coley. Filsket Pony. Deckhead. Doofus Maximus. E. Smith. Elizabeth Tinner. Emma. Humble Pie. Isaac Martin. Jade Thomas Plank. Jesse Harris. Kathy Zender. Lauren Eckert. Lucy Carrasco. Luke Stamen. Mike Yeager. Mickey Baker. Poppy Woods. Ricardo the Hood Edda. Robert NYC. Sarah Yu. Runner Brandon. Tom Bombs. Travi Cosmos. Troy Anderson. And Zach Nelson. Drag Race Recap is an Afterthought Media podcast.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring the show. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/dragrace.